Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This is truly an epic event that is raising awareness and revealing just how much is happening in the world of embodiment. And this gives me hope about where we're heading as a people. I'm Amara Pagano. I'm the founder of Azul, a conscious movement path of personal transformation. I work with the body and the power of movement to awaken love and consciousness. Embodiment is a key to my work. And the journey of embodying the map of Azul is what facilitates the process of self-realization. I'm excited to sponsor the Dance and Creativity Channel to share my love of movement and to celebrate the power that it has to serve our collective evolution. If you are interested in awakening your deepest potential or curious about the spiritual and healing aspects of embodiment, I encourage you to check out Azul. Everyone is welcome. I work with people who love movement and people who have never moved. Follow the link and you'll find three gifts for you: a 50-minute Azul journey, a special discount on our online embodiment training, and a free month in our upcoming membership program. So come, check out the Path of Azul. I'll be presenting on the main stage here and in the Dance and Creativity Channel, and I hope to see you there. For now, enjoy the richness of the presentation you're about to see.
But for those of us who are here in this space today, lovely global collective of people, we are here to listen to Caroline Carey. She's going to be talking to us about the Wheels of Soul's return and self-knowledge as a path to fulfillment. There will be an option for you to speak in the chat if you have any discussions around this, or if you particularly want to ask Caroline some questions, then do use the Q&A box at the bottom of the screen. I'll be able to field those questions to Caroline much later on in the presentation. But for now, we're very, very lucky to have her here. She is a grandmother. She is an aspiring crone elder, the author of 6 books, a speaker and a creative guide. She specializes in traditional beliefs about soul retrieval that have helped us form more modern day therapeutic theories. Using movement and role play and creativity to identify our unique purpose, Caroline's aim is to support others with soul loss and depression caused by unfulfilled archetypal roles. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over now to Caroline.
Thank you so much, Liz. And it's really delightful to be here. It's such an amazing, amazing conference. And, you know, I've been watching a few of the speakers. I mean, there's so many, hey? And really getting a beautiful sense of what embodiment is. And one of the things I've been doing as well is looking at some of the little interactions before each of the speakers. And, you know, some of these little moments where people are being, you know, going through the, you know, or how do I do this and how do I do that? I assume everybody can see that, or whether it's just the speakers that can see it. But I'm just delighted by it because it's such a creative process. This whole conference is a creative process. And it's just so exciting to see all those little background conversations and listen to them and see what actually goes on there. So I've been just as delighted with those as I have been listening to the speakers, quite frankly, because I just think it's marvellous. It's all really marvellous. But I'm very happy to be here and to be able to share my own little piece of work, my own little offering into this incredible mix. So as Liz says, I'm Caroline. I have a long journey of dance, of creativity, of embodiment theories, and of one of the most important things for me has been to keep asking the question, what is mine to do and what is mine to bring into the world? And I don't know how many of you can identify with that question. What is actually mine to bring to this conference or to, you know, or just into the world, into my community? And the only way that I found that I can truly know that and understand that is by really examining my own life's journey, the journey of my life, the experiences and the specific moments, very particular moments that I've had in my life, that have made me who I am. Like a very dear friend said to me today, she said, I said, I'm a bit nervous about this conference. I'm a bit nervous about going on there and all these people and stuff. And she said, you know, just remember that God made you the way that you have, that he made you, she made you. So, you know, you're Caroline Carey. You can't be anybody else. You've just got to be yourself. And, you know, I was so happy to have that little reminder, because that's exactly it. That's what all of us need to be, is to just be ourselves. So a little bit about my background, because I think that always helps. And I think somehow we kind of like personal stories, don't we? It really helps us to get to know somebody. And, you know, I was born in quite a nice middle class family in England, and I lived in the countryside. And, you know, it should have been, you know, a very, very lovely upbringing. All right, you know, I should have been absolutely fine and all that. But there was abuse, there was sexual abuse. And there were things that went on in my family that weren't particularly healthy, definitely weren't healthy. And, you know, I got caught up in a lot of that. And I think some of my self-esteem it took a bashing. It definitely took a bashing in that. And I went on to live my life mostly in a place of slight disembodiment. I wasn't quite in my body, you know. I was living in quite a sort of fantasy world because of that. I didn't want to be in my body because it was painful to be in my body a lot of the time. But I loved dancing, and I think dance was my saving grace. I had a little tiny record player, and those of you who are my age, which is nearly 60, these little box record players we had when we had 45 RPM. Records that we would play and dance around to, and I had one of those in my bedroom that used to be, I think it was my parents, one of their wedding presents actually, that they had kept. So I'd be in my bedroom, I'd shut the door, and I'd put my selection of three or four little 45 RPM records on it, and I would dance. And I just loved that dance. I could escape anywhere with dance, you know. I could be in that fantasy world. I could explore all sorts of things, you know, and just be with myself. You know, nobody could touch me in the dance. And my mother sent me to ballet school. And that was okay because I was getting to dance, but I didn't like the rigidity of it. But I did it because it was a way to move my body in at that time. And I just loved the music. I loved any music that I could dance to. And as time went on, I got into horses, I was into nature. But the thing was, I hated school. I absolutely hated school. I was not an academic by any means. I was sent to a convent, which was very confusing because it was a Catholic convent, and I was brought up Church of England. So there was kind of this, kind of difficulty there with trying to understand religion. I felt like I was a very spiritual person, and I was. I believed in God. You know, God was very, very important to me. And you know, as time went on, I continued my spiritual beliefs. I always believed in God, and it changed quite a lot to the goddess, to the Wicca, to paganism. To all my beliefs sort of swapped and changed around quite a bit because I was trying to find the God of my own understanding, what was true for me, and what really worked for me. But it got very confusing going to a convent and then, you know, going to the Church of England Church and understanding all of that. But you know, my life was confusing, and I wasn't living fully in my body. I wasn't connected to my heart that easily because it was too painful. But one of the things that I did love was creativity. I loved to be able to draw, to write, particularly poetry, from a very early age. And I loved to be able to make things. You know, sit me down with pen and paper or some crayons, and I was happy. And I'm not a good artist by any means. I'm not a great artist, but I just love putting pen to paper and creating whatever I can. I love dancing, and I love making things out of anything: cardboard boxes, paint, material, stitching, sewing, you know, whatever that was, so that I could get my hands on. I wanted to be doing that. Now, as it happened, when I got to 16, I ended up getting ended up getting pregnant, but I got pregnant at 16. And I'm very happy that I did now, because my son is absolutely gorgeous, 40-odd-year-old man. And subsequently, I had 5 other children. So I have a big family, 6 children. And, you know, one of the most important things in bringing up my children was that I wanted them to be creative. I wanted them to find their own creativity. And I wanted them to follow their particular path in life. I didn't want to force them into the schooling system. I didn't want to tell them they should be doing this or they should be doing that. I just wanted them to make their own choices in life. I could see that they all had creative abilities. They were all creatively minded. They all loved to be in nature. They loved animals. And I wanted to encourage that. 2 of them loved music. So, you know, it was really important to buy guitars and drum kits and all those sorts of things for them. And so, you know, this is something that I watched them developing through their lives and still do. I still do. I still see the things that they very first loved when they were children. I see them following that now and being with that expression now. And even so, some of it is in very small little doses, but it's still there. Very much so. And I'm really happy and encouraged to see that, because my dance carried me on through my life from that very beginning with my little record player. You know, it carried me through life to be the dance teacher that I am now. Just like Amara, I trained as a 5 rhythms teacher and movement medicine. And, you know, I was very much in that field of conscious dance, conscious movement. It wasn't easy to pull myself away from family life, you know, and become the teacher that I wanted to be, to do that training, to go from Ireland to New York and to train with Gabrielle Roth, for example, was a really, really big feat for me. It was huge. And one of the things I recognized was that, you know, if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't managed to find a way to do that, I would have possibly become quite lost. And once my children had grown up, I wouldn't have the, you know, I wouldn't have had that career change, some people might call it. But for me, it was like an embodiment of my own creativity and my own particular offering. And that was really important to me. And it's during that time that I really started to ask those questions about what was mine. What is mine to do? I'm following the guidance of my teachers. And that's really important, you know, and I love offering what they are teaching me to offer. But there was still that little question going on, you know, well, this is theirs to bring to the world, and I'm training here, and I'm learning about this work, and I'm understanding it, and I'm using it for myself. But is there something here? Is there something in me from my story, from my journey, that I'm willing to bring through for others? And that took me a long, long time, in fact, many, many years, to really understand that, to really recognize that this was part of my own soul's calling. You know, it's something that I find really important in creative people. And when I say creative people, I think everybody is creative, whether you think you're a good artist or not, everybody is able to create. Just those, you know, that I can see, just bring your hands up into the screen. I just want to see you moving your hands and see if you can find, you know, really original way to move your hands. See if you can, you know, move your wrists, your fingers, yeah, and just play with your hands a little bit. Yeah, look at some of these dances. You're all being really creative right now. You're all being really creative. You know, can you see that? Can you see that beauty in all these little skins? I could just keep doing this for ages, actually. Thank you, Stephen. Oh, that's brilliant. Do you know, you're being creative. You're dancing. Your hands are moving. You know, you're creating beauty. You really are. Even some of those funny, ugly little bits, you know, it's like, that's beautiful too. That's creative. That's art, you know. We can create with our bodies. And this is something that I was learning, but so many people that I come across and that I spend time with have lost that. They've lost that ability to be creative. for whatever reason. Maybe they weren't encouraged as children. Maybe there is some wound, some big challenge, some abuse, some trauma, you know, something that has got in the way of them to, you know, to stifle that, to stifle that really beautiful creative essence that they hold. And I wanted to work with that. I wanted to do something around that. You know, because I've seen too many people struggling with addiction, with lack of self-esteem. You know, so many people who are lacking confidence and, or just don't simply have the courage to allow their creativity to be seen by others. Or they just don't know how. And, you know, for all my dancing and being a teacher and becoming an international teacher and guide and traveling around the world, one of the things that was really important for me was that, you know, I needed to look at my own culture for one thing, like I think we all need to, and ask what is the wounds of my culture? What are the wounds within the little town that I live in the communities that I work within? You know, that's the question that I've been asking myself. And within that, I'm asking, what is mine to do about that? What is mine to be within all of that? And I brought myself closer and closer to home, and to start to look within my own circle, within, you know, the place where I was, what was needed from me in this. And as I did that, and as I studied it, and I started to really look as deeply as I could at what actually creates some of this wound that prevents our creativity, that stops us from dancing, that stops us from even thinking that we can write a piece of poetry. I started to understand from my own life's journey and the archetypal qualities that I held in myself that this was a process. And I called it from innocence to sovereignty. Innocence to sovereignty. I love the word sovereign, because what I could see in others is that they had lost that sovereignty and needed to reclaim it. But what I also realized was that every innocent being is sovereign. Everybody is born that golden child, that golden light coming into the world. You know, every newborn baby is perfect, whoever they are. And that is the soul coming into this, what I call the magical garden, which is our earth. The soul is landing here in this magical garden, this incredibly beautiful place that we have. And they are the crown. This little baby is the crown of sovereignty that is arriving here. If you can just think of that for a moment in your heart, like you were born sovereign. I was born sovereign. But then life happens. Things happen to us, just like they happened to me. And some of that sovereignty, that beautiful light, became diminished. And it couldn't be felt or seen anymore. And other things took over. Some of my story, you know, took over. And some of my ego, if you like, or some of my your habits, patterns, stepped in order to take charge of the journey, to take charge of my life. And it happens to us all, you know. And it's meant to happen to us all on some level. And some level, actually, you know, we have to live our life. And I started to study shamanism very, very deeply and really work with shamans from around the world and to start to understand what soul retrieval really was. What is soul retrieval? And I learned from some of the shamans that, you know, you drum and you do your the work with the shaman, and you know, somewhere this golden light is going to be brought down and put it back into your body. And I saw how that could work, and I saw how strong that felt and how beautiful that felt. And then I started to ask the questions of, well, how do we do that in our society? You know, it's not usual for shamans to be banging their drums in my town. You know, they might be hidden away somewhere, but you know, it's not part of my culture necessarily. And I love the idea of working with what my own culture holds within it, the medicine that it holds within it. And so I started to look at some of the personal development work that we do and how important a lot of that is, and how sometimes just by recognizing something in the unconscious, some part of our old story, the light begins to shine through the cracks. Yeah, we start to open up and we start to get a sense of, oh, a little bit of freedom from that old story. And the more I studied this, the more I worked with it. And Stephen, keep dancing. It's so beautiful. So great. Yeah. You know, the more that I was able to understand this, mostly from my own journey, from my own life story, which is very full of all sorts of stuff, I started to create something. And I was journeying and drumming one day and dancing and holding a space for some others around the fire. And I suddenly saw this diagram drop down in front of me. It was like so vivid and so clear. And it was a bit like a Kabbalah, which I was like, oh, wow, you know, this is like the Kabbalah. I don't know anything about it, but that I know what that image is. And then gradually, as I started to study a little bit more and start to bring more creativity into it, I created a wheel, which I call the Wheel of Soul's Return. And it's a journey from that innocence to sovereignty, including 13 archetypes. And each of those archetypes I've had to live with on some level myself, or study for myself and get a picture of in myself. There were resources, there were dwelling places, there were tools, all sorts of different shamanic tools and spiritual tools, spiritual principles and traditions that really helped me to develop part of this work. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you this wheel. And let's just have, I can do the share screen thingy. Yep, here you are. Can you all see it? Could you just raise your thumbs to say you can see it? Yay, good stuff, there we go. So as you can see, this has been years of exploring and journeying with. It's been a path of absolute discovery that came from my life. What it does is it helps others to explore their life, their journey, to look at all the very significant moments in their existence, and to then use this wheel to help them find what is theirs to do, what is theirs to bring into the world. So as you can see here, there is the gathering. I'm not going to go into, I haven't got enough time to go all the way through the wheel, yeah? But what you can see there is the gathering, deeper knowing, and the offering. The gathering means that I'm hunting and gathering my life story. I'm getting to know it on a visceral, physical, kinesthetic, emotional, mental, to find it all, to find every part of my journey and understand it, to find new perspectives on it, to find what has happened to me on this journey that I can make sense of and that I can transform from a wound into a beautiful gift. It has deeper knowing. I need to deepen my understanding of my story. I need to deepen the understanding of why some of these things happened, and maybe why I'm continuing to let them happen, why I'm continuing this story. I become the warrior of my own life, you know, that part of me that has to know, and become really creative with it, to work with the artisan, the thespian, and to really get to know what that journey is about, to create with it, whether that's through dance, writing, making things, creating magical and spiritual shamanic tools, you know, or whether it's to just write my own story, the offering. What am I then bringing from my journey into other people's lives? What am I able to offer to others from my journey that is going to be supportive of theirs? I'm going to take this down a little bit because I really want to see your lovely faces. And I'm sure we will have a way of sharing this, possibly on the Facebook page for people to see if they want to. I don't know if that's possible, but you can certainly see it on my website. So if you can imagine that examination of your story, going so deeply into it. Hello, Elizabeth. There's a beautiful, beautiful Elizabeth there, who's one of our supporters of Middle Earth Medicine and the Wheel, and you know, a mentor for the work. You know, if I can find that in myself, if I can really work with that and dance with it and move with that story, then what great gift would I have to offer to my community? Rather than thinking I need to train in this, I need to train in that, and I need to understand this theory and that theory, if I simply take my life story, I say, this is it. This is what's mine to do. Self-knowledge, the understanding of myself and how I can bring that story a little bit further into the world and share it with others and not have any fears around that. We have too many concerns about sharing our stories, because there's always somebody that your story or what you offer becomes the answer to their prayers. Imagine that your something you share today might be the answer to somebody else's prayer. And what an incredible thing that would be. So when we're moving with this, you know, we are literally in the dance. When I go into the dance, I'm asking, what is mine to do here? So allow yourself to move in your bodies a little bit for a moment. Just allow yourself to wiggle around in your chair a little bit. Have a stretch. Stretch your fingers. And all the time that you're doing that, and you don't have to, it's okay. You can just shift around a little bit. But as you're doing that, take some deep breaths and ask yourself, what is mine? What is mine to do? What is mine to do in this moment? Just ask yourself that. What is my gift? What is my offering? What is my medicine? And invite in the hunter-gatherer. Imagine this hunter-gatherer that you are, that's seeking the truth of your existence. What might that be? What would you want it to be? What have you learned about yourself enough of and digested enough of in your own story to go, this is who I am. This is me. This is part of my journey. Can you hear that in yourself? If you can keep your body moving a little bit, that's great. But just be aware of your breath. And just be aware of how you're breathing. And when you ask that question, what actually happens to you? What happens to me when I ask that question? And I listen a little bit more deeply. Look at your hands, look at your fingers. Do they have a message for you? Is there something you can learn from the movement of your hands? Yeah. This is all we need to do in this dance. It's just ask for guidance, ask for support through the body, because in the body we hold a lot of energy and we hold a lot of tension and we hold a lot of old stories. And some of those stories need to be released a little bit so we can hear them, so we can connect with them, and we can understand them, and we can release emotion from them. Do I have emotions that are tied tightly into the body that stiffen my shoulders or hurt my back or make my hands ache? Is there tension that I haven't fully let go of yet? And we breathe and we keep breathing and we keep asking that question. And some of you might absolutely know what yours is to do, to bring into the world. Some of you might be so sure about that and it be so incredibly clear. Yeah. But for some of you, it might be a challenge. It might be something that you're saying, I know there's something, but I'm not sure what. You know, my mother used to, before she died, she ran a beautiful tea room in this lovely country house. And It was a sweet tea room full of flowers and the smell of her beautiful sponge and fruit cakes. And it's a gorgeous place. And she used to say to me, you know, Caroline, what I do is when people come into my tea room, if they come in with a sad face or they look a bit low, she would say that I see that my job is to make sure they leave with a smile on their face. And I thought, you know, thank you, mother, mom, thank you so much for that message. Because, you know, that was so simple for her. She would bake her cakes and she just wanted to see people smile. You know, if they were a bit unhappy, how can I make them smile? And that was her purpose. That's what she felt was her purpose, you know? That's what she felt was hers to do every day. To do her work and to help people to smile. What would yours be? What would it really be? You know, write it down. Write down whatever comes to you in this place. Because one of the things that I've learned through this process is that when we're born, there is a gift that we are born with. There's a very particular gift that we're born with, something that is connected to our soul. Caroline Myce always talks about the sacred contract, and that's what I've kind of adopted in my work, because the sacred contract means a lot to me. What is my sacred contract? What have I come to the earth to work with? And part of my journey means that I might have to go through some suffering in order to explore that. I might have to meet other women who've been sexually abused. I might have to meet other mothers who have struggled to find their own way, something of themselves in the world. You know, got caught up being a housewife and haven't been able to express, or they've lost something from years back that they haven't been able to fully embody or claim for themselves. There might be people out there with members of their family who struggle with addiction, serious addiction. Yeah, there's all sorts of stories that we all hold within us. And our gift is to work with that, to digest that story and to find the medicine of it. And I do that by being creative. Find that way through creativity. Because I'm not somebody who can intellectualize things. I'm not somebody who can be really academic with stuff. You know, I like to get creative with it. That's how I learn. You know, my ballet teacher could have told me 100 steps to do, but she had to show me and she had to make me do it before I'd really get it. Yeah, because I'm a very kinesthetic person. I'm very kinesthetic in what I do. I need to do things in order to learn them. So why do I call this path innocence to sovereignty? You know, it's that idea of being born innocent and being born sovereign, that we have to find our way to reclaim that golden light. And if we are focusing on this journey of finding what is ours to do and finding our own medicine, finding our own offering, then how do we know when we've really got there? How do we know that we're in that place? How do we know we've arrived at sovereignty? You know, for me, it's because I feel so fulfilled in what I do. I feel so happy to be offering what I'm offering. I never have the question of, am I doing the right thing here? I never have doubts about it. I never have the idea that I could be doing something better or something different. I'm just doing what I'm doing. And I'm full of joy because of that. Yeah. And because I see people smiling. And I see people happy through the process. If I can make one person happy in a few days, you know, and they've really got something from this work, I know I'm on the right track. When I stopped asking that question, when I stopped asking the question of what's mine to do and recognized that I was doing it, then I knew that I was embodied, that my soul was embodied, because I had returned to the the innocent state, that beautiful, curious, fascinated state of being, that golden child. You see that the thread, it's this golden thread that runs from our birth, from that beautiful, innocent place, that runs all the way through our life story, our life's journey, and arrives at sovereignty. Yeah. But I have to follow that golden thread, and I have to uncover all the stories and, you know, all the significant moments, good and bad, not just the difficult things, but the beautiful things. You know, remembering Miss Brown, who was my ballet teacher, remembering the little record player, remembering the horses that I rode, you know, remembering the being down at the disco and dancing to Status Quo and Alice Cooper, and some of you probably won't remember some of these, but I loved rock and roll down at the disco as a teenager. Yeah, Kevin Webb, yeah, absolutely. And we put our hands on our sides like this, and we did all this kind of, you know, like in long lines of teenagers. Absolutely. There, you got it. Yeah, Fiona's got it. You know, that was a really important moment for me. Do you know that, like, learning to be in a tribe, learning to be in connection with others and finding our dance together. So important. That was a significant moment for me that I had to, you know, remember and bring into my toolbox, my medicine box, that I could use for today when I'm dancing with others and sharing the dance in a beautiful room full of people, and not so many people these days, but I'm meeting a lot of people online and taking them through this process. I wonder how much time we've got, because I just love to bring up the wheel again just quickly so you can have another look, because from what I've been saying, hopefully you might have a little bit of an idea of what I've been saying, because I'm going to go through it just briefly. So right at the center of this wheel is the seer. The seer is the one who knows, the one who sees, the one who
witnesses. Make it bigger?
Can I make it bigger? Oh, I don't know if I can. Will that do? So here we have the seer. And you'll see there's a mandala, which is two circles overlapping. Yeah. This is the place of salt, but that's for another day because I haven't got time to go into that right now. But it's a very important part of this journey, working with polarity. And then the next, the segment that we start working with is the dreamer. What am I dreaming in? So if you think about this for your creative project, what are you dreaming in at the moment? What are you aspiring to? What do you feel drawn to? What would you love to be doing in the world? Once you've identified that, there is this innocent stage, embracing your innocence, using your imagination, the crown in the magical garden, birthing yourself into the world. What is my creative project? What am I doing with it? What can I learn about it through my own experiences that I can pass on to this project? And then we have the rebel, which I prefer to call the spirit rebel. And that's all about the untamed forest, going into the world and not necessarily knowing where we're going, but knowing that we must find our own particular tribe. Who is my tribe? And what is my own individuality? Can I dance to the beat of my own drum? Once I know these things about myself, I go into the next segment and I work with my own apprentice. I become the apprentice to my life story, and I look at all the repetitive patterns that I might have had to explore, and to explore my heart, my emotions, my dance, my physical being, to understand what's actually been going on in my life with all of this, to do my therapy, to do my counseling, to understand who I am. And then to get creative with it. One of the things that Gabrielle Roth always used to say was, turn your wounds into art. And that's exactly what we do, is turn our wounds into art. We make from it. We've been in workshops where we'll be creating all manner of things, from medicine bags to talking sticks, to masks, to outfits, you know, all that sort of stuff. getting really creative. And the thespian is the one who stands on the stage of life and goes, here I am. I'm ready to do this. And this is the place where so many of us as creatives get stuck. We know what we have. We're standing on the stage of life and we're ready to present to the world. And then something happens and we shut ourselves down. We get scared. We get nervous. We stop ourselves. We sabotage ourselves. And that's why this, the exploration of this journey is, what was going on in my innocence? What was going on at puberty? What was going on for me that stops me from being able to express myself? And when we can go beyond that, we reach that beautiful place of sovereignty. We return to that golden light. We uncover the layers, yeah, and we discover what's been in the rucksack of our own backs, you know, the unconscious, what's been hidden in the unconscious that we carry around with us. Because within that unconscious, for sure, there's a little sovereign story in everything that we've ever done. And when we become sovereign, when we enable ourselves to really step fully into that place and we feel confidence and we feel at ease with ourselves and we love ourselves enough and we take responsibility for the gifts that we are carrying and we recognize the maturity of our own majestic garden, yeah, then we start to see that, you know, if we're not careful with that, we might turn it into grandiosity. We might, our egos might go too far ahead. You know, we might not be of service to others, only in service to ourselves. And we see a lot of that in the world. You know. But our story, if we've worked hard on it, the sacred fall that comes next will give us a good kick up the backside if we're starting to get too big for our boots and say, hey, remember where you came from. Remember that. Remember you have a story to share with the world. And that's really important. And we laugh about it. We say, oops, I caught myself there. I caught myself being a bit out of sync with my humility. I need to return to that. And then we become the wise elder. And the wise elder is, you know, when we reach our elderhood with this, whatever age we are, this is not about an age thing. This is about, you know, when I've really embodied the work that I'm bringing into the world, then I'm then ready to pass it on to others and have apprentices, which, you know, I work with now, and I show people how to develop this work and how to share it for themselves and to make use of it for themselves. Yeah, that's when we become an elder to our own story. And then, of course, the circle begins again, because then we're passing it on to the dreamers. We're passing it on to innocence. And from that place, you know, we know that our own soul has been embodied. And that's what just stopped the shared nags and we see again. But this is the idea for me of embodiment. So I'm embodying my soul. I'm embodying my courage. I'm embodying my self-esteem. I'm embodying what is mine to do in the world. That's for me is what embodiment is about. Yeah. To be fully myself, to be able to come from this place of heart. And an understanding of who I am in the world and what I have to offer, what God has given me to offer, or spirit has given me to offer into the world. And that's all I need to know, and I can see that from my life story. There's so much to share about this wheel. I had to write books about it, of course. I had to get creative with it. And I had to talk to my 83-year-old mother-in-law, because she's my favorite artist in the world. Elizabeth has got the book there. But she's an amazing artist who paints and paints and paints away in her little shed in her garden, workshop in her garden. And we don't see a lot of her work out there. But I love her work. I absolutely love it. And she's 87 now, so that's how long it took. But, you know, together we designed these, you know, these cards that go with the wheel, which are beautiful, beautiful images of every stage of that wheel. Here we have the seer from the center. I'll show you that one. Her artwork is incredible. She's the most beautiful 87-year-old I have ever come across, and so creative with it, so extraordinary with it. And we got together and we did that. And basically I had to hand the whole story over to her to say, okay, create something from this. And she got to work with it. And we went through our own process with that, which I won't go into too much, although it really excites me. But I've been putting little posts on Instagram all about it and all about how we worked with that together. That's been delightful. And yes, I wrote two books about this actual journey with it because I just had to. There was so much to it that I wanted to explore and I wanted to tell other people about. As you can hear, Angela, I could just talk about it forever. So I'm so excited to be able to share that. And I'd love to know if you have some questions because I want to hear your voices as well. And yeah, anything that you want to particularly ask from what you've seen or felt on this.
We do have a question here for you, Caroline, from Paula. As facilitators, can we work with the Wheel of Soul Returns in our own sessions?
If you want to use it, I offer trainings to help people to use it and to teach it and to work with it, absolutely. And also you can use it for yourself just to help you to explore and find what you believe is yours to do. That's exactly how we work with it. So I do webinars and I have groups of people we meet every week and every month in different groups to really find that process between themselves to reclaim and find fulfillment in their creativity. Is that
a really rich and deep topic, and I'm sure that there's lots of things to discuss about this. I wonder if anyone has any questions they'd like to ask Caroline in the last few minutes that we have here together.
I just said it all.
Caroline, I have a question. You're talking about what is mine to bring into the world, and I would love to know, did that come to you in an instant, or was it a gradual realization for you of knowing what you bring to the world?
I think that what happened for me was that I, you know, every time I went onto the dance floor, I had learned to really process my emotions, to process my story, to work consciously in movement with my history. And so I would go onto the dance floor and I would ask, I don't know where it came from actually, I would just say, so what's mine to dance now? What's mine to dance today? What's mine to dance with? And trust. And that was a big, you know, it's a big thing to just trust. What needs to move? What emotion needs to move today? What story do I need to be aware of today? Or is there something I need to do to support somebody else in the dance? That's it. But what I realize as well is that we can use that in anything that we're doing. So when I'm in a situation, maybe it's a challenging situation, I don't know, and something's going on in my life, I can ask that question, what's mine to do? What's mine to do right now in this moment? You know? And you know, asking that question, a lot of the time it's nothing. Do nothing. Sit back and mind your own business. That's a good one. You know, when somebody's having a difficult time or somebody's, you know, so you know, something's happening that I want to get in there and fix, or I want to go and rescue somebody, or I want to, you know, it's like, leave it alone. This is not yours to do. Just stay with what's yours, yeah? If somebody asks me, then for sure, I'm going to step in there. But only if I'm asked.
Yeah. Great. Got people asking about the names of your books and courses. Could you let us know what your books are?
Yeah. So the one book is called Middle Earth Wisdom. And that's the one that Elizabeth is holding up. Thank you, Elizabeth. That's great. And the other one is called Middle Earth Medicine, The Oracle. Middle Earth Medicine, The Oracle. And that's the one that goes with the cards. And they're all available on my other website, which is shop.middleearthmedicine.com.
That was Middle Earth Medicine, The Oracle. Is that right?
The Oracle is the book. And the cards are available from its shop.middleearthmedicine.com. And everything's on my website.
Lovely. A question here from Paulina. Any recommendations to be our true self in this system, or how we raise our children in this system?
When you're talking about this system, are you talking about raising your children in this system, in the wheel, within the wheel? Is that what she's asking?
I think, I'm not sure, Paulina.
A little bit of clarity on that would be great, because there's lots of systems.
Yes. Do you, Paulina, do you mean the system of the world that we're living in, or Caroline's system? Both. She means both, using the wheel.
I think what's going on in the world at the moment is really calling for us to reinvent ourselves on some level and to find our creativity. This has been a really valuable year for me, I have to say. Although it's been very challenging, especially not being able to be with my family and at times with not being able to be with my grandchildren, that sort of thing. It's given me a chance to take a breather, to press the pause button and to really sit back and go, what is mine to do right now? And I've had to be very creative with it and to really develop my creativity in order to be able to still bring it to other people in the world. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. I think we have time for maybe just one more question. So if you're burning, do pop something into the Q&A. If you're burning, put the fire out first and then put a question in the Q&A.
Somebody has asked if you can buy the book and the Oracle together. You can, definitely, on that website. Yeah, they come together.
I was asking if somebody is new to this all, how or where is the first step you would recommend?
The first step, I think maybe either look at the book or get the cards, or maybe come to a webinar, to sort of take part in something, in an introduction to it, and just see if something touches them from it. If something goes, oh, I recognize that in my own journey. Myself, maybe that's something that maybe there's something there for me, and I want to get more creative. I want to understand my creative journey a little bit better. And anybody who's interested in soul retrieval, that's a good starting point. Reclaiming all parts of yourself, really being embodied in your fullness.
I don't know if you can hear me. It's a very, very long time ago. I think we probably have got the same age. In the early 80s, I used to work with two shamans, David Urey and Jenny Sams. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for reminding me the myths in wheels and, everything about shamanism. I moved on to yoga, basically to a different path. But it's all the same. I mean, it's absolutely all the same. And I just wanted to say thank you. That's all. And it's, it's the medicine wheel has been such a part of my life and a massive discovery. So,
thank you, Marie.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, Marie. That's beautiful to hear. Beautiful.
Great. Well, we are coming up to the end of our time with Caroline. You can find out more about her at middleearthmedicine.com, and we can find the books here as well, can we, Caroline? middleearthmedicine.com.
Yes, you can find them there, but the actual shop, if you want to purchase them, is shop.middleearthmedicine.com.
Great. Lots and lots to dig our teeth into and hopefully live our fullest and most rich lives. So I think so,
absolutely. And I really hope you all do, and thank you for joining me here. It's really beautiful to connect with everybody. Hope to see you again.
Thank you. Yeah, really, really lovely. I feel nourished. A very lovely energy you have about you, Caroline. It's been a pleasure
to
have you.
Thank you.
Very, very nice.
My grandchildren say the same.
Wow. Well, what fascinating stuff. So we're ending this session here now, but if you are interested, you can continue chatting to one another in the coffee break rooms. You just go back into the portal and you can fire up the conversation in there if you want to chat to each other or meet other people across the conference in the coffee break portals. That's something that's available to you. And coming up later on this channel, on the Dance and Creativity channel, our next session is at 8 p.m. today, and that is with Yakov Darling Khan, and he will be doing Life is Movement, Invoking Power, Presence and Purpose Through Your Inner Shaman. So I think if you've enjoyed this, you may well enjoy that one as well. So that's back on 8 o'clock today at UK time. And just to mention once again, our sponsor for the channel, which was Azul, pathofazul.com. And of course, we have had our wonderful speaker, Caroline Carey, there, who you can find at middleearthmedicine.com. Yes, a round of applause there from some people. So there's obviously so much happening during this conference. It's bulging at the seams with rich and interesting speakers. All the videos are available for 48 hours, so you can watch them for free. But as human beings, we've only got the same number of hours in a day. So if you can't fit in everything that you want in 48 hours, and you want to take some time to digest some of this learning, then I would highly recommend upgrading to the package, and you can own all the recordings for life. And that means you can take them all in at your own pace. You also get audio versions of the recordings, so you can step away from the computer and outside and listen while that's all happening. And you also get notes as well. So if you like a note, things noted down, you'll get them with your, if you upgrade. And it does, of course, help to allow us to create this conference to be free for everyone for the duration that it goes ahead. So if you are able to upgrade, it's much appreciated. It's very helpful for people. If you can't, that's totally fine. Enjoy this rich feast of lovely speakers that we have over the next few days. We're here until Sunday around the clock. So we're wrapping it up here. Thank you so, so much. But I'm going to turn back to Caroline for one final moment. And I'm going to ask you, Caroline, what is your top tip to staying embodied?
Top tip to staying embodied? For me, it's about being creative, I have to say. It's about finding a way that works for you, that is what is your creativity, whether it's dance, writing, finding a way to express into creativity from the heart and creating, you know, whatever wants to come through you and being conscious of that. So we ask that question, what is mine to bring, what is mine to do, and then follow the journey of that and let it show you. Let it show you what you're about. And that's, you know, pick up a paintbrush, pick up some crayons, or play with some leaves in the garden and make something with it. You know, this idea of creativity is so connected to our soul's journey and so connected to embodiment. It's so rich. That's quite a long tip, but that is what I would really, really recommend. And I practice it on a daily basis, doing something creative every single day. It's my survival.
Great. Thank you so much, Caroline. I'll be taking that message forward with me. What is mine to bring into the world? You've mastered what is yours. Thank you so much, Caroline, and have a lovely rest of your day.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye-bye.